you bark, meow, quack, whinny, or have someone in the house that does, this is the talk show for you. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, in this segment, we have with us once again another one of the groups of people who are out there trying to save animals. We have with us Sandy Meza, who's come with us from Guardian Angel Animal Rescue, and she's in the studio with us. Welcome to the studio, Sandy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Guardian Angels, we've heard of them. We think of the berets. We think of the people on the street. Help me understand, what is Guardian Angels when it comes to animal rescue?
Well, it's pretty much animal rescue. We rescue animals.
Okay. And when you say animals, does that mean all kinds of animals? Does that mean that they have to be a certain kind of breed, a certain kind of animal? I mean, help elaborate on that.
Nope, we do not discriminate. If they need us, we take them. We mainly do dogs and cats, but we have been called on chickens and rabbits and even a huge, I don't even know what it was, snake. And so we go where we're needed.
We have a snake at the store where a customer came in, and basically it was stopping traffic down on Larch Street, I believe it was. And so he came in saying, hey, can you guys help us out? And we did the best to rescue that particular animal. But I know those things happen. You know, animals get outside, right?
Well, this was in an someone had left it in an apartment.
Yeah,
and moved.
Well, boy, talk about a wake-up call when you move in one day. Wow.
Right.
That would be a scary one for me.
Yeah, I can understand. Yeah. Well, Sandy, I guess help me understand, how did you get involved with this and what makes you do what you do every day?
Well, actually, I've been probably doing it my whole life, but how I got my own started is I was trying to find a no-kill rescue group. And my idea of no-kill and other, it changes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't find one that I was comfortable with, so I ended up starting, me and a friend ended up starting our own true no-kill organization.
And this has gotten rather large. Can you kind of describe the network that you're involved with, that you've created?
It's big. We started off probably with 10 animals, and we're up to probably over 200 right now.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. Oh, my. And how many volunteers do you have, or how many places of rescue?
Not enough.
So a dozen, two dozen?
We probably have about 25 volunteers. Yeah. We only have about five cat fosters and about 4 dog fosters. But we have a kennel that we use, too,
that
helps with the dogs.
And placement, you go through a pretty careful process to get these guys homes?
Oh, very careful.
And you actually have some animals that aren't too placeable that have been with you quite a time. Can you talk a little bit about that?
The longest, 14 years. Because we are a no-kill group, when we get in an animal, we don't know the history. And they could have diabetes. They could have behavioral issues. And we deal with it. We make it work, and they either stay with the foster, or sometimes we're very lucky and find a forever home for them.
And one thing I noticed in this particular section, we're doing all types of rescues, including breed-specific rescues. A lot of times it's left, unless it shows up at a animal control or some organization that might possibly not be able to keep them, they pretty much can't manage to have enough open door for just at-large rescues. So you're a little different. It sounds like you were talking that some of these are coming from the streets of Detroit.
Yes, we get quite a few from the streets of Detroit.
And that's kind of unusual that you're able to play that critical of a role, because I know there's definitely a need for it. And certainly our lovely Ingham County Animal Control plays that role here, but you probably play a great niche and send quite a net out there if you can actually go directly to the public.
Right. We also feed the ones that are in the abandoned buildings. Mm-hmm. We supply families that live in the area to go into the abandoned buildings and feed them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just to, you know, help us because we are so small. We can't obviously take mm-hmm. them all, mm-hmm. but at least we can keep their bellies full.
Yeah. Can you explain to me, Sandy, you said that there was a difference between someone else's no-kill policy and your no-kill policy. Can you elaborate on that?
Well,
what did you mean by that?
I don't want to say anything that our no-kill, I'll just tell you about our no-kill policy.
Okay.
We do whatever it takes. I mean, we get an animal and it might cost a few thousand dollars or more. We will find a way to raise the money. A lot of vets will say, well, this animal will cost you too much money. Don't put the money into this one. You could save more. But that's not the way we think. We think we'll find a way to still save more and still save this one too.
So every life is valuable.
Yes, we don't. And we age with, you know, if we get in a really old animal, if we can even give him 6 months or her 6 months of quality, loving life, we will do it.
Wow.
We will do whatever it takes to do it. It gets very expensive, and our vet bills are $2,000 to $3,000 a month.
Right.
But, and probably the overall picture, you know, certainly it's excellent that you can do that, but on a practical level, unless we have a much larger benevolent public, it's probably impossible to do that, you know, throughout the country. So benevolence must rule at some point. So,
yeah,
but at least
hard.
in your hearts and in your efforts, that, mm-hmm. that certainly is a very benevolent action. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, that is phenomenal, that the passion you have for animals to keep them alive, I would imagine, is the driving force behind everything that you do. How did that come about? Have you just always loved animals to the degree that no animal should not be treated, even if it's just giving an animal a couple of extra weeks or a couple of extra months? Where did that passion come from?
I don't know, but I think it's been with me my whole life. You could talk to my mom and she would tell you that I was always bringing something off the street home.
Yeah.
Something was always coming home with me. She said she always had to check my pockets and everything before.
Well, Sandy, if someone wanted to help you out or donate or something, how do they get in touch with you?
We have our hotline, which is 734-332-9459.
Okay.
And our website, which is www.gaarmichigan.org. And we have PayPal, for donations. And we also, you can also donate directly to our vet.
Okay. Well, we just can't encourage you enough because there's no doubt you're trying to do everything you can to help keep animals with the best quality of life. And that's what we talk about on the show every week. So we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you
so much for coming in, Sandy. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for being out there.
Rick, once again, we've had an incredible set of conversations this week talking about how people are out there trying to keep animals safe and to take good care of their pets. And we hope that all of you have enjoyed it as much and will join us again next Saturday at 11 a.m. for the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show when we have another great show lined up and we can hear everything there is to hear about great pet keeping. So on behalf of our producers, Holly Rotter and Nick Casey, for my co-host, Rick Pruce, this is Lee Cohen saying thanks for joining us, and please don't forget to take darn good care of your pets. We'll see you next week on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.